Kay Freewell with Space Place. Denny Powell, Ice and Enzo.
Rika Dieterle, Health Sciences Library. L.E., very good.
And your first name is?
Well, actually, it's U-L-R-I-K-E.
Ulrike.
Ulrike, yeah.
U-L-R-I-K-E.
R-I-K-E.
That's quite a German word.
Surely is Irish, yeah.
I'm Ken Smith. I'm a former worker here and a student.
Hi, I'm Alana Kaplan. And I work for the Wisconsin Meat Company. C-A-P-L-A-N.
Lynn Diener, C-B-E-N-J-C-E.
Rachel Langford, WAP with UNP. I've been for this business.
Tim Olson, Environmental Mulching Design.
Ian.
Dane.
Dane Nelson from Biochemistry and Center for Biology Education.
Van Velasky, Engineering Outreach.
Your first public engineer.
We had a little Noah S. flood that can probably be part of the new Creation Museum going up to the Dells. It was in the auditorium on Friday late afternoon. We had a couple of feet of water in the auditorium. So that means the group that was scheduled to be in the auditorium at noon has been moved over to here, so we'll have to make sure that we evacuate at 11:55. Today's speaker is Tom Still, the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. He also teaches in the Life Science Communication Department across the way. Many of you know him when he was with the Wisconsin State Journal. Please join me in welcoming Tom to the new
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. A pleasure to see some, familiar faces. Ken and John and Tim. Tim, I know from just our former neighborhood.
Yeah.
And maybe also others here, so I don't have to chat with them. Great group. I'll guarantee you from the outset that I probably know less about actual science than any given one of you here. But at the end of the day, that's sort of not the job of the Tech Council. We're a connector. But you're going to hear about what we do, about some of the things that we do to help connect entrepreneurs and investors in particular, and other resources such as the academic side of things, and how this all fits together. I feel really, really confident right now about the kind of infrastructure that's building in Wisconsin for tech transfer, because in the long term, I think that's really going to help academic research universities such as this one. So, first, what the heck is the Tech Council? We are an independent nonprofit group. We're 501c3. We were actually created, it's part of one of those infamous state budget bills. This would happen to be 1999, but it didn't get up and running until about 2 years later. And it was created to be the science and tech advisors to the government and the legislature. And that role is sort of core to what we do. We're nonpartisan. We're just as willing to sit down and give unwanted advice to Democrats as Republicans. And then on many times I guarantee you it is unwanted, but that's okay. We have a large board, 43 members. So when we need a room larger than this. They come from a lot of walks of life, but they're all people who one way or the other have a hand on the elephant called tech development. We have researchers. Mike Sussman here from the Biotech Center, for example, is on our board. Dean Paul Piercy in engineering is on our board. Some counterparts from UW-Milwaukee are on the board. We have a number of technologists who are really entrepreneurs, people who started companies, some kind of a C-level position, chief technology officer, chief information officer, chief science officer, whatever it may be. So there's a lot of representation of companies, large and small, from companies, frankly, as small as about probably 20 employees, all up to GE Healthcare. We have some government officials. The Department of Commerce Secretary is on our board. We have some legislators who are our members. They get a certain number of seats. And then we have educators. Kevin Riley, the system president, is on our board. The president of the Tech College System, Dan Clancy, the president of the Independent Colleges Association, Walt McGee. So you can see it's people who, one way or the other, touch on this. And we have a lot of service providers as well, people who work day in and day out with tech companies. Many times lawyers, many times consultants, or accountants. And believe me, they happen to be largely people who, frankly, maybe also had a science degree, but are also we're divided with a 43-member board, as you might imagine. Kind of unwieldy, but we have an executive committee of about a dozen. And then we have four standing committees in areas that we think really deserve the most attention. Investment capital, because in fact, investment capital is so important to the startup companies. Human capital, because I would contend that's every bit as important in this state as we do ahead. Tech development, make sure that we're at the forefront of some of the issues, especially with the governor, the legislature, and others that we deal with need to know about. And then outreach and public policy, because at the end of the day, and this speaks to my background in journalism, at the end of the day, we're largely a communications firm. We do a lot of things to get the message out both in the state and outside the state about what Wisconsin has to offer and how we can help put it together. So that's a little bit about it. 5 years ago, one of the first things that I came up was we needed to put together sort of a strategic plan, something that had a bit of a vision of where we're going to go as a state and an organization. And this was it. It was a publication called Vision 2020, a model Wisconsin economy. We still use it extensively. And there's some key words here in this statement that really summarize International Center for Research, which we are and which we need to protect and continue to build upon. New business formation of advanced technology companies, because that's where the jobs and the wealth creation we believe is going to be over time. And then ensuring ample high income jobs in a growing economy for Wisconsin. We're in a transitional economy in this state. And one of the things we really need to do is focus on those high end jobs and propel this state as we move forward. Manufacturing is always going to be a part of it, I hope and believe. Agriculture is always going to be a part of it, I hope and believe. But these other things that perhaps build on that base to provide a little more value added for us is important. Yeah, I'd say we operate in three main areas. Policy development, economic development, loosely speaking. We're not a classic economic development agency in the sense that we don't have money that we can invest ourselves. And then networking. And so policy development side, I mentioned 2020, first thing we ever did, remains our touchstone. I mean, everything sort of that's come since then has been out of 2020. I've got a couple of slides later that show how we view interdisciplinary research, which I think is a very strong review. We prepare and publish policy statements. What kind of infrastructure do we need to say? What kind of tax climate? What kind of regulatory climate? How do we attract the right capital? Those kinds of things are often in our white papers to the governor and the legislature. We, every 2 years, sort of on a biennial basis, and John Powell is very familiar with this, the state puts together a budget, and it's got everything, including the kitchen sink in it. And one of the things we try to do as we're leading into such a process is give them the kinds of ideas that could help spark that development.
Sure, that's not every 2.5 years?
Well, it seems to be more like 2.5 right now, doesn't it? It's amazing. We were joking the other day that about the time this will get passed, we'll probably start thinking about the kinds of things that we want to put on the table for the next go around. Depressing in a way, but it's reality. We work with a number of state agencies pretty closely, commerce and financial institutions in particular, on The Department of Financial Institutions can be asked, they regulate banks and credit unions, yes, but they're also very interested in the angel capital investment climate in Wisconsin, so we work closely with them as we build something I'll describe later called the Wisconsin Angel Network. And again, the strategic partners in the academic world that either are doing the research and or producing the kind of work that we really need in this economy.
Tom, what kind of relationships do you have with people at UW-Madison in particular that are on the businessy side as opposed to the WARF and scientific research side, since so much of what you're looking there is at least business school, not necessarily the graduate school?
Right. The Leinert Center for Entrepreneurship, we've got a good relationship with them. Dan Lachevsky, who's the director there, is somebody we deal with on a pretty regular basis. In fact, the guy who runs our angel network, Joe Kramer, is a graduate of that program. Certainly the Office of Corporate Relations. They are physically located across the hall from us in our office building. So Charlie Hoslett, Alan Dines, the rest of their staff, I mean, they're really the front door to the university in terms of business connections. So we deal with them quite a bit. Business Dean Mike Netter is certainly somebody that we stay in touch with. On the extension side, the folks who run some of the small business development centers, such as Neil Werner, runs the one here connected to UW Madison, which has a heavy sort of tech development emphasis. They do a great job. Indirectly or not routinely, but certainly every once in a while we're in touch with the teachers and widely about some of the kinds of things that we're interested in. CALS. Especially now with the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Grant. We've spent a lot of time talking with Father John and Tim Donahue. In fact, they spoke at a recent event that we put on in Brookfield about how that research center could affect what's going on in the economy of places around the state. We had 120 people. Those are some quick examples. And I mentioned Mike Sussman, Paul Piercy, and many others in this area as well. Jerry Kozinski, the Associate Group for Research. Mike Corvini, who's in engineering and physics. A lot of contacts on these campuses. So. And the incomparable Tom Zip.
I want to do better than that.
Be a little bit absent is in the area of health and biomedical and that sort of thing. And yet, he's got some teams behind here there.
I neglected to mention med school. We deal a lot with Paul DeLuca, who's on one of our boards. And so that's and Steve Harsey there, who does a lot of outreach and business things. So I didn't mention it, but that shows a very good example. So the policy development side, economic. As I said, we do a lot in that area that kind of comes down to connections and providing pathways for entrepreneurs. The card I gave all of you is the same debate card for our early stage symposium, which is an event designed to bring together entrepreneurs at different levels with potential investors. And we also do some things there for people who are really not quite at the company level yet. And some of you may be there, but technologists, inventors, researchers who might have an idea that they'd like to explore, that they could have some spin-off potential. A couple of things we do there. One is called the Elevator Pitch Olympics. As the name suggests, it's sort of 90 seconds in a cloud of dust. Companies or would-be companies get to present their idea to a panel of investors in 90 seconds, and their score. We're pulling up scorecards. It's sort of like American Idol meets angel investor. And it's been wildly successful. We've done it, and some of the companies have moved on from that stage and gathered some roots. But we have real life venture investors and angel capitalists that we do this morning. So we have the next stage up is our Wisconsin Angel Network investor presentation. So bills are a little longer, about 7 minutes, but still pretty quick. And again, we have investors there who are maybe looking at potential investments somewhere in the $500,000 to $2 million range. So it's beyond seed capital, but it's still not probably everything they need to raise in order to get the company on the side. But the company applications are due October 12th. If anyone's interested, that might have a company or knows someone who has a company that ought to be a part of this, the website's on the card. We also host the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Conference, which is held each June in Milwaukee. That's where we announce the winners of our statewide governor's business planning contest. We have a number of other sort of seminars there. It's all about how to run your company, how to run these small companies, how to make the connections. The sort of nitty-gritty kinds of things that often, if it's a tech-based company, it spends off campus, and perhaps, the researcher would really have no way to know some of these things. It's a bit of a business 101 kind of course. This, in fact, is a... Well, these are pictures from the various conferences. That's the Elevator Pitch Olympics up there with the scorecards up. And right here, this is Janet Phillips, who won this year's business plan contest. She's from McConnell-Milwaukee, and she had basically a medical device company. The Wisconsin Angel Network, I made a reference to that. We now have 24 different investor organizations that are a part of it. Collectively, they represent about 250 investors. We have an online pipeline of executive summaries from companies that are just launching and looking for angel capital. These executive summaries are available for inspection on a secured site by these investors. All of these investors are accredited investors. Companies can feel pretty secure about even looking at that. And anybody can loan up an executive summary as long as they follow the template. It's not tech-exclusive kind of companies. We've got things on there that are retail in nature or even some tourism kind of thing. But it's largely tech-based because that's where angel investors tend to look, is the sort of high-growth areas. We do some publications. We do an outreach and a letter that goes out around. We do something called, we all know about business plans. We do something called e-plan, which is an electronic business plan. It comes in a CD form. If any of you are familiar with angel investors at all, getting in front of them is difficult. And they're very busy. They don't want to see every plan that comes their way. But let's say you've got one of these CDs that you can slip to an angel investor, and perhaps they might look at it in their spare time sometime. It's a good introduction to your company. So we've done that with some success, and we know some matchups that wouldn't have happened without that. And that's also what we put it up online, too, so website, take a look. We spent a lot of time trying to get these angels and entrepreneurs together, and angels themselves. When we started this, two prominent angels in the state, Tim Keene with the Marquette Golden Angels, and Dick Leeser with Wisconsin Investment Partners, had never met. I mean, it's not, one was in Madison, one was in Milwaukee, but they had never met. And so that meant they never had an opportunity to syndicate deals. So what we do now is we bring the investors together themselves as well as others, and we're seeing more deal syndication where two or three angel networks get involved in. We have an event coming up October 3rd in River Falls. You know the River Falls. But we're bringing in investors from Minnesota as well as Western Wisconsin. And they're going to take a look at some deals that we've got there. So Joe Kramer, as I mentioned, graduate here from the Weinert Center, is the director for this. Governor's Business Plan Conference. This has been really successful beyond our hopes. We've had 1,000 entries now in 4 years. We've been able to distribute $650,000 in cash or in-kind prizes. Now, the in-kind prizes can be legal services, can be accounting services, they can be space. This year we had finalists who were able to get a year's worth of rent in different places, which is like cash, especially if you need a place to be. And I think most importantly, it's helped them raise equity, private equity from angels and others. And it has
the process is really helpful to move ahead. It's how they get organized. It's how they write their business plan for the first time. We gave them a reason to do that. And, you know, they're just like entrepreneurs, like anybody else. If they put off something tomorrow, they will. But in this case, this sort of gets them going. This year's deadline is January 31st. So if you think you might know someone who has a potential business plan, it starts at 250 words and then builds to a 20-page through stages of the contest. Let them know. It's up on our website. And we had 300 entries last year. We expect to be a comparable number this year. We launched in March something called the Wisconsin Security Research Consortium. As most of you know, I mean, classified research does not take place on this campus because if you can't publish it, you can't do it. So then you can't publish it, it's classified. So one of the things we've done is serve as a go-between to try to match up some of the great resources we have here, either private or academic, to some of the needs at the federal level. And a lot of it is around, we see things from biosensors to new generators. And so we've got the board representatives from a variety of academic institutions, and our director is a fellow who has done a lot of work over time, especially with the Marine Corps, and is building this organization right now. So we think that, we're certain that the kinds of expertise that's needed is here. It's a matter of making sure that what the federal government is looking for is met. So that's a relatively new piece.
Tom, who statutorily is restricted from doing secret research?
I don't think it's statutory. I think it's a regional.
And it's just the UW system.
Yeah.
So MCW, Marquette, right. MSOE, and right. Anybody else?
Can and do that kind of research. And, depending on the structure of how it's put together, individual professors or researchers who are within the university can't do that research. But it's, it's not going to be for a publication. So, we also run something called the Wisconsin Innovation Network. This is sort of very much the networking side of things. Wisconsin is a state of medium-sized cities. Here right now. Sure, Milwaukee's good size, but beyond that, it's largely medium-sized cities that are some equal distance apart, and they don't necessarily work all that well together, never had a need to in the past. One of the things we do is try to provide opportunities for them to meet one another, for entrepreneurs to share ideas that, if they live in the Chippewa Valley, they might meet somebody from Milwaukee who has some kind of way to help them. The WIN chapters get involved in business plan contests, the Angel Network, just a variety of conferences that we put on. So there are a lot of folks in there. There are 6 chapters right now. There's affiliates with different places. It's actually started in Madison. In fact, Wisconsin Innovation Network moved back to about 1984. First WIN chapter was here. We brought that into the Tech Council as part of one of our subsidiaries and employment from there from Madison. So networking is very important. If you look at the successful tech-based regions, cities, states around the country, they're highly networked. We do some networking, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but within our region, I came up with what I like to think of as a brand called the IQ Corridor to describe the region between Chicago and the Twin Cities. When you think of California, obviously, hands down, the biggest tech state in terms of their kinds of resources, but in San Diego, that tends to be the life science state. Silicon Valley, obviously, over time has been the IT center, although a lot of life science is there as well. That's about 550 miles apart. They have the luxury of having them all in one state, but it is quite a distance. Well, 400 miles separates Chicago and the Twin Cities, and we're right smack in between. And there's a lot of resources there. 14 million plus people, major federal labs, major academic research institutions, a lot of capital, the right kind of workforce, and some great companies. So when it comes down to trying to, if you try to go someplace, let's say the bio convention, an international bio convention, talk just about Wisconsin, yeah, sure, there's some recognition, but there's also a lot of people from Malaysia and South Korea who sort of glaze over. You're not really sure where the heck you're talking about. But you can say, well, we're north of Chicago, we're east of the Twin Cities, there's a long corridor there of companies. Sometimes you get flashes of recognition. So that's why we named this investor piece coming up, the IP Corridor Investor Symposium, because we try to really push that as a networking opportunity, you know, great. So one of the things I spent some time talking about, especially outside academics, is to talk about the resources we have. You all know what, you know, how we can do advanced things in terms of research. We have about $1 billion in academic research in this state overall. About 80% of us at UW-Madison. Obviously, you know some of these resources. We're standing in one of them right now. This district discovery is a well-known planning route. It's the Great Lakes Biomedical Research Center, which I just mentioned. College Engineering, Department of Computer Sciences here is really nationally renowned. Work has returned about $940 million in license revenue over time back to the university. Going back to 1925. Most of you are probably very familiar with the story that I always get outside the university say people are very interested when I talk about Steenbach and vitamin D and irradiated food and how that all began, you know, in terms of the creation of warmth. It's a fascinating story, especially when you say that, you know, tell them that he could have sold that particular invention for just shy of $1 million in, I think, 1927, which today is, what, $13 million? University Research Park, that's where our offices are located. We're on the Science Drive there. That has gone from an experimental farm to 114 companies, 4,100 employees spread among those companies, and an average salary of about $60,000. Now, that's really significant. Consider that the average the capital income in Wisconsin is about $334 somewhere around there. So these are largely high end jobs, the kind of things where we need to go. I mentioned the Office of Corporate Relations sort of being the front door to the university. That's been a good transition over the last 3 or 4 years. There used to be a slightly different process that was, I think, a little more internal focused. This is really focused on trying to make connections and meet the needs of the business community. Now, around the state, Medical College of Wisconsin, they actually do about $139 million a year in research. It tends to be more clinical. It tends to not result in as much spinoffs because they haven't had that kind of emphasis. But I think they want to move more in that direction. Marshfield Clinic really functions in many ways like an academic institution, especially with the Research Foundation. They have actually signed a contract with WISIS, which is the Warp subsidiary, to do their tech transfer. UW-System, UW-Milwaukee's got about $25 to $30 million a year in research, and the other campuses, probably 10 of the other 13 comprehensives have anywhere from $1 million to $3 million in research. As you know, Rudomsky's here today. I'm working with his office on a periodic report that we do called the Economic Value of Academic R&D in Wisconsin, where we try to chart out what it means to the Wisconsin economy to have $1 billion worth of research. Where is it? What do we have at stake? Marquette University, Milwaukee School of Engineering, Blood Center of Southeast Wisconsin, other pockets of research that are out there. And of course, private research and development is always about 2.5 times, depending on the state you're in, what you see for the academic side. So we've probably got about $2.5 billion from our best estimates and estimates of others in that kind of research going on in Wisconsin. Continuing around the state, the Chippewa Valley, kind of an IT software cluster there. It dates back, many of you have heard of Craig Hughes, Seymour Craig. A lot of companies in Seattle trace their lineage back to Seymour Craig. They refer to themselves collectively as Craigans. They, along with the Stout, the Eau Claire, and the Momentum Chippewa Valley partnership, and the tech college here, which is really the lead, and recently launched a partnership called NanoLite, building around nanotechnology education. So they're doing some exciting things there. The St. Croix Valley, sort of along the border, Hudson, River Falls, going down to Prescott, some other places like that. A lot happened. Really, a lot of it is just purely because of the Twin Cities and the size and vibrancy of that economy. Fox Valley, we've seen a real transition. A lot of sort of old line manufacturers have turned the corner. Manufacturing in Wisconsin today is really high tech. In order to survive, in order to be competitive, they've got to be on top of the technology, and many of our manufacturers are doing that, doing it well. Southeast Wisconsin has a lot going. You know, obviously Madison is the biotech center of the state, but there you'll see a range of things. There are a lot of software companies, a lot of what I call media development, bioinformatics, medical devices is usually simply GE Healthcare. GE Healthcare probably has 7,000 or so employees around the state. Any of them here. Milwaukee County Research Park has now 53 companies. It has slowly grown. And the mix there, I was just over there last week, the mix there is sort of unlike the mix you see here. You'll see more, I think they're probably two-thirds software and IT versus here, which is probably two-thirds life sciences. But that's good. I mean, it shows that you get different indigenous economies that spring out within the tech sector. Rural Wisconsin, there's really, as we all know, there's a revolution going on around biofuels. And I'm just thrilled that we were able to get that regular supply of energy center here, because I think it's going to mean so much to the state as a whole. Only three places won those grants, $125 million each, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, one in Palo Alto, one here. We have the right combination of natural resources, workers, and the academic base. I think they have spinoffs out of that for some time to come. So it's really a great thing in the state. I think it's going to be really great in rural Wisconsin, which is looking for ways, I think, to enter the tech economy in this economy. I mentioned Vision 2020 earlier. This was something we put together for that report that basically stresses the importance of interdisciplinary research. And you can see here across the top, there's all these research disciplines from computer science down to proteomics, pharmacology, or any of them. And so when we looked at sort of emerging tech clusters on the life science side, and you can see them here down this side, on the left side, why were they emerging? Why were they strong? Well, in many cases, because there were so many interdisciplinary links. That helped build the strategies of these different sectors. Here's the same look on what we call the high tech side, where again, interdisciplinary strengths are part of what make them go. And nanotech is extreme materials, homeland security, mass media storage. Those are all areas where we have a lot of expertise that tends to knit itself. What are our challenges? So far, it probably seems like a pretty optimistic picture.
Yes.
But there's a lot of things that stand between us and having the kind of economy we really want to have. Despite our growth in the biotech side, we're not yet a top 10 biotech state. We're sort of on the verge, but we're not quite there. Later today, I'm going to something called the Midwest, Mid-America BioVenture Forum in Milwaukee. Which is about 10 states, venture capitalists from all over the Midwest, and 60 companies have presented their plans in hopes of finding investors. Well, it's a great thing for the state, and you need more of that kind of activity to push us over the hump. Attracting and retaining strong managers is an issue. Many tech-based companies, especially, are first led by scientists. They're great scientists. They're not necessarily great business people. And they often need somebody to bring them to the next level. And so that's an issue in Wisconsin and Topeka. You know, there's a problem where if you're on the coast and you're thinking about moving to Wisconsin, it's like, okay, well, this doesn't work out. I trap someplace where there are no other companies this tight, where I wouldn't be able to find another position, or I have to move my family again. So it's, you know, be very personal that, in some instances about what they go through. Attracting private equity after the seed and angel rounds. There's a bit of a gap today between, especially in Wisconsin, between sort of that first round of capital, family, friends, and fools, and, you know, and some of the early angel rounds between what you really need long-term in terms of venture capital. We try to provide some of that gap. In fact, that's why our conference is set up today, because it's to try to fill in that sort of million gap. We're still lagging a bit in industrial R&D. A lot of companies that, you know, we're kind of frankly fat and sassy throughout the 90s. 1999 was the biggest year ever in manufactured employment in Wisconsin. So the alarm bells weren't quite yet ringing, but that's begun to turn around pretty rapidly. But we're still a little bit lagging. Competition's fierce. I can't go anywhere without having somebody from Idaho telling me to keep bio test. You know, I mean, half the time it's hype. We can back it up here with a lot of areas, but there's a lot of competition. A lot of states are spending far, far more on business attraction than we are. You know, sometimes in multiples of 30. So this is a message that we bring down to the Capitol a lot. We need to get in that particular area. We don't have a big pharma base yet, but pharma is increasingly becoming, moving away from small molecule pharmaceuticals when they work so exclusively to becoming a biotech-based industry. And in some cases, you're going to see melding of the two. In fact, you might see biotech companies taking over pharmas. That's already begun in a small degree. But we're seeing toeholds now in the state of some of the big pharmas, which is good. We've historically been more of a toolkit state. Diagnostics. Now we're starting to see more companies that are in the therapeutic space. The final point here is I emphasize this to everyone all the time, especially around the state, is that some folks tend to be a little protectionist, shall I say. This state lives on trade. You can't possibly sell everything we make in Wisconsin, in this state, in this region, or even in the United States. We're very trade dependent. Trade is growing in Wisconsin at a rate far exceeding the U.S. average. And it has in each of the last 3 or 4 years. It's a very healthy thing for Wisconsin because a lot of that trade tends to be high-end products. Medical devices, electronic equipment, a variety of things that really push our numbers up. I don't know if anybody can guess this. What do you think our top 3 trading partners are in the state?
Canada's
number 1.
China.
Mexico's number 2.
China.
China's number 3. China just recently moved into number 3 for Wisconsin, ahead of Japan, for the first time ever. And it grew, our trade with China alone, state grew by $840 million in the last year. So, China is a lot of things. They're simultaneously a threat and an opportunity. They're simultaneously a lot of things, but one thing they are is a booming economy. Political side. And this is often important about where you are in terms of being a part of that institution, especially one like Madison, which is, hey, this is the 800-pound gorilla, and so everybody wants to throw bananas at the 800-pound gorilla. The challenges on
you know, in terms of science and tech development, come from both the left and the right. I mean, you often hear about it from stem cell research that's coming from the right. But I see a lot of things that come from the left as well. And that's, you know, it's not as well known, but you see it in a lot of areas where people from the political left will stake out positions that ultimately it doesn't rely much on the science. And in between there, you get people on both sides that see this as a bad one. Who, you know, there's a credibility gap. A lot of it has nothing to do with anything that you do in your daily lives. It can be a very well-publicized sort of incident that might involve a manager at the, you know, at the administrative level, or, you know, a researcher who, you know, like, I can't even remember his name now, but the fellow who was talking about the Iraq War conspiracy theory. Well, yeah, theory. Things like that. They stick outside the campus borders. And, you know, they can be tough to overcome. But I tell you, there's no better message than what this campus and others are doing in terms of the kinds of research, the quality of research, and what that can do for the economy, and how the university helps ordinary businesses and other people day in, day out. So that's what I think will ultimately carry today. But we, you know, one of the things that we tell policymakers is, look, if Jamie Thompson wanted to move his lab tomorrow, he could. California could probably buy it out lock, stock, and barrel, move the whole thing. I mean, we only got 120 for stem cell research on this campus. That's a big number compared to anybody else, but still, it's a very portable item. In this knowledge economy we all live in, these are things that work. As I mentioned earlier, most states are spending a lot more than we are in terms of trying to build the tech-based economies, and we try to push up against that. Right now, we referenced this earlier, the state budget is stalemate, and I'm somewhat more optimistic than somewhat. Things will take place in the next week or so, but that's not healthy for business attraction. Wisconsin's the only state out of 50 that hasn't found a way to get its act together around the state budget. You know, folks sitting in sort of business relocation offices around the country, CEOs or others, say, yeah, I really want to go there. These folks know what they're doing. A big message that we try to enforce is that Wisconsin must be attacking this investment in the energy system. We don't get things like the Great Lakes Bioenergy Center without having the foundation here that's necessary to carry on. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that and what the payback is. And that's one of the reasons we did this economic R&D report. So, you know, some other things that are out there. We don't do as good of a job as some other papers in Minnesota. They do a lot better on venture capital, in part because they're such a big medical place. We're doing a better job, but we still lag on creation of new companies. We've had an entrepreneurial culture in Wisconsin in the past. Folks like this, Harlan, Davidson, Johnson, Babcock, Evinrude, Kohler, Baer, Quadracci, they were entrepreneurs. They started out with small companies, but then they got to be big companies, and we sort of rested on our laurels for a while. So there's a whole new generation of entrepreneurs that I consider in a way kind of up and coming. We see some great companies building on that. So, you know, who's going to be maybe the household name tomorrow? Maybe Judy Falk or Hector DeLuca or Rock Mackey. Bill Clinton, Amy Johnson. You know, those might be the kinds of folks that, you know, generation or whatever now that look back on as the entrepreneurs who helped create this new economy. So, these are the kinds of things we need. We want more people, especially those with a scientific background. Young, ambitious, diverse. We did, for Vision 2020, we did calculations, we need 300,000 more. The state to bring us up to the level of the Minnesota, for example, in terms of our overall workforce. Talented people, the right capital, the right culture, the right process for tech business development and rapid growth, and I think that's really come together well in the last 5 years. It's not flawless,
has come together a lot better.
And then a commitment to a strategy that includes tech and knowledge-based businesses. A lot of the political culture is built up around supporting the economy of the banks. What we try to do is make the point that the economy of the future and emerging economy is where you need to put more resources. So that's where we try to enforce our messages as a tech council, especially in dealing with policy. So that's it. That's where to reach us.
I'd like to, especially with regard to your last three slides, Michael Cudahy is a billionaire, put $60 million into the new Discovery World building on the lakefront.
Yeah.
That place is remarkable in that it's talking exactly what you're saying. I know no other science museum is talking about innovation, invention, entrepreneurship, wealth generating. They're the only people I know that are targeting 16-year-olds and 29-year-olds, a demographic that almost no other science center wants to touch. And yet his whole gist is, if there's going to be the new entrepreneurs that you're talking about, that's the age group that we got to focus on. In Madison, we don't even have a science museum beyond the geology museum that is about 3,000 square feet. We have an opportunity with these four new buildings coming in to have a place on a research campus. It doesn't have quite the nice view that Discovery World has, but yeah, we have other advantages. What kind of things do you think we would be able to do here and see here so that young people or middle-aged people or old people or angels could have a much better feel for the nature of discovery, innovation, and enterprise in 5 years or 10 years if we're able to do something with these buildings so we have a place to welcome people?
I'm not privy at this point to how all the space has been shaped down in the instances for discovery. Certainly that's a crossroads where perhaps something like that, it would seem like it would fit, but I realize there's also a question of the space there. I think maybe just off campus as a potential. I think Ruth Shelley is from the Madison Children's Museum was going to be a part of this speaker series as well. And Ruth, they're in the midst of thinking through learning space. They just started a fundraising for that. That's a different demographic.
That's up to 11-year-olds.
Yeah, but they've got several different floors there, and maybe it's possible that it becomes a little more tiered in terms of their approach, but that's a goal.
Hey, building upon that, you've got the approach of attracting, integrating the community into the campus discovery, education, and perhaps but I'm curious what thoughts you have as well out today. Do you have attracting them here, of course,
right,
which is easy for us on the campus. But also, I'm just curious what ideas or thoughts you might have as it relates to your innovation networks, the chapters you described. So you have it both ways. You have a very proactive approach to attract here on campus, but also when you take the Commons and here where appropriate, when appropriate, for the right audiences, the Chippewa Valley or the Wausau, et cetera. What thoughts do you have on that approach?
Well, most of our conferences, for example, both the one in Milwaukee and here, will have a sort of what's new on campus kind of track in it, this thing we're doing out in River Falls, October 3rd, we're going to have Tech Transfer. Well, we're going to have both Molly Applejohn, who runs Weiss's, and